That means we will check in with the MCCSE, and the superintendent is our great friend, Dr. Jeff Hoswald. Dr. H, good afternoon, pal. How are you?
Hey, I'm good. Good afternoon, Mike.
Happy New Year, and we got everybody back and rolling. I believe that was on the 3rd. That feels like 100 years ago. Then we had a vacation on the 15th, and we had a e-learning day on Friday. Well, other than that, it's been a pretty quiet start to all of this.
I know there's been, even this morning, with the chance of ice, I know there was a large team of people that were up at about 4 o'clock in the morning, some throughout the night, just checking the conditions and making sure that predicted rain didn't somehow edge into ice. So there's been a lot of early mornings for a lot of people. They work really hard to try to make informed decisions, but to keep our students and our staff safe.
Well, and we just want, that's number one on the priority list. Let's make sure that everybody is safe. The last time we spoke to you was, what, early doors in December? So we navigated through the Christmas break. We have returned back now for the 2024 portion of the school year, the spring semester. We haven't had a lot of spring to deal with since we've been back to school, but that's going to change, so that's good.
Warm temperatures
all this week and next week for everybody, so that will help. And, well, you guys as a board and as an administration have been busy. We've seen plenty of stories in the newspapers, whether it's, some consolidation, some schedule changes. You've had a pretty full plate here the last couple of months. Tell us what we need to get caught up on as we turn 2024 and start heading to, the days of May, which we all dream about. But we've got plenty of work to do before we get there.
Yeah, that's right. You know, we started our strategic plan in 2021, and I think the board is collectively working with administration and, as of course, engaging with the community to identify ways to improve the work we do, with a focus on equity, of course. And as you mentioned, the board is engaged in a series of has created a committee on high school schedules. Those continue to meet almost every other Wednesday. I know the next meeting is this Wednesday, and it's a group of 8 community members and 7 staff members, and they're kind of starting from square one, I guess, and really trying to understand what we currently do, where there are inequities, and any advice they would make to the board on how to improve the schedules that exist. So that the next time they meet is tomorrow night, actually, 5:30 at the CoLab. So that's going on, and then, of course, we continue to move forward with our monthly board meetings, and we got the first one of the year, aside from our reorganization meeting, up tonight at 6 o'clock.
Let everybody that listens try to, if you can, eliminate some confusion on the role of how it works here locally. If we want to change something, whether it's class schedules, calendars, or figuring out, are we going to send students from this school to that? How does this process? I think a lot of people don't understand how it works. I don't think they understand clearly the defined roles of you, the superintendent, versus the board. Can you just kind of give us the flow chart on how this can work, so maybe some people will understand better how to either present, react, or figure this out moving forward?
Well, it depends on the topic, and I know that's not a great answer, but the Indiana legislature has delineated the job and role of the superintendent and the job and role of the board. So some issues are delineated that be chiefly responsible for administration. That would be like day-to-day management. And oftentimes, really, decisions, for example, that may be more urgent that have to be made. Remember, boards, their power only exists when they meet in concert, and that's together. And they have to notify the public a few days ahead of time that they're going to do so. So the ability for a last-minute meeting isn't possible. So a real simple example, talking about the weather, that authority is delegated to me. So, there's a team, our transportation director, our buildings and grounds director, facilities, all those people that know the buildings and get out and drive the roads, they talk and they make a recommendation to me. But nonetheless, so ultimately I'm responsible for deciding if we're going to have a 2-hour delay or, you know, have to cancel school, have e-learning, because those are more administrative in nature. So on tonight's agenda, the board has placed balancing elementary SES. That is really a privilege of the board. The reason for that is something when they consider that, whether they want to change school districts, they want to redistrict, or they want to reconfigure merging two districts, that changes the school's configuration. And anytime they do that, it requires board approval. So that's an example where the authority rests with the board. So, it is not within my ability to make those decisions. And I think the board has been very clear on that from stating an interest in this topic. And they can request the administration to provide them information or to support them, but ultimately it's a board decision. So you may recall it was mentioned board president, now president Hennessy, mentioned elementary SES balance as a significant concern in the October meeting when we were talking about schedules. And then at the November meeting, board member Schur said, we would like the superintendent to provide some strategies to improve the balance. So in a public meeting, they said and told the community they would like me to give them some additional information for their decision. I did that in December. And then in December, of course, the board stated that they would like to have additional discussion on that in January and invite public comment. And that's where we are. And I don't know where we're going because ultimately it's a board decision.
Well, there we go. So I just like people to understand how the sausage is made. They don't have to write it all down and be there for every step of it, but you have to understand how this works and where it goes. So the influence you have on the board is just when they ask you for it, for lack of a better word.
Well,
In this case,
yes. But of course, we work as a team. So and the board superintendent relationship is very important and it's very positive, because they may be noticing things and asking questions that are concerns, or we may be noticing things, my administrative team, principals, and we may bring things to their attention that they may want to consider. So, a lot of policies, boards have to approve policies, but sometimes when laws change, we'll get a heads up and we'll say, hey, we might want to change this policy and here's why. So there's a constant, it's two-way communication, it's back and forth. And it is a very positive process. We're very collaborative, and that's really important so that, I can bring attention to them of things that they may want to consider. So, for example, tonight the board is, for a first reading, looking at two additional anti-racism policies, 3518 and 4518. And my administrative team brought that to my attention, and I brought it to the board's attention. And we said, hey, we have a student policy, but we really need a supporting staff policy. So that's where we can put guidelines that affect teachers and our classified staff. And so I communicated that with them, and they said, can you develop some samples? And that's what we've been doing. We've had some community forums on that, and then we will be bringing it to them, because ultimately policies are the responsibility of the board. They have to approve them. So, yeah, I just to be real clear, it's not that we ever sit back and just await for a mandate or anything like that. We work very collaboratively. And so there is, oftentimes a board member or board members will notice something and bring it to my attention and say, hey, I know this is your responsibility, but, I thought I'd bring this to your attention. And so, there has to be that that back and forth two-way communication, and that's really how I think a lot of things get done.
Dr. Jeff Hoswald is our guest. Playing hurt today. You can hear you're a little bit under the weather there, so we'll get you out of here quickly. Those are big deals. What else are we looking for? You had your organization meeting already. What did I miss there? Did I miss anything on how that starts?
No, the board reorganization, as you know, board president Schur stepped down on or around October of 2023. Our bylaws had a process by which the existing officers simply moved up, and so the board elected to keep those officers that moved up and started in November of 2023 the same slate for 2024. And so our officers haven't changed. They did elect board member Pirani as the assistant secretary, so it's kind of the fourth officer position. So no real changes at the reorganization meeting. Then tonight, in addition to the conversation or discussion on balancing elementary SES, we do have some policies for a first reading, and most of them are related to anti-racism. One of them is related to use of medications, and it's basically updating our policy according to state code. And then also tonight, in our district update, we're going to continue to go back to our strategic plan and do an update on diversity goal number two. And that's our goal, that we reduce student discipline disparity. And that's where we have a disparate impact, or could have, where we disproportionately discipline students of color, students poverty, students with learning exceptions. And so we'll take a look at the data and actually look at some of the progress we've made in the last year. So that's on the table for that's on the agenda for tonight as well.
And briefly before we wrap up, now that we're into 2024, do we have longer term goals for this calendar year? Do we have we know like Tri-North has been built and that's done. Are there any other big ticket items we should be paying attention to in the development as we get through this? Well, the new year, it's only 22 days.
No, we are engaging with a facility, doing a facility study to identify what the next areas of needs are and kind of learn from that. And so I do expect some information coming forth in the next, 6 months or so. We hope to have some more information. What is the priority, and is it essential? Yeah, we don't want to, of course, utilize taxpayer resources if it's not necessary, but we do know that we have some schools that are definitely in need of some attention. So we're going to have some external experts kind of give us some advice on that, and we're awaiting that report. And then the other big thing, I'd fail to, if I don't mention this, February 1st, we start enrollment for the 24-25 school year.
Kindergarten.
So this is significant. This is significant, and we have information on our website if you have an incoming preschool or kindergartner. Of course, mccsc.edu/enrollment or earlylearning.mccsc.edu, and all of this information is on our main website. But just a reminder, we are getting ready to roll out a universal four-year-old pre-K. We will have that at 13 sites, so basically all of our elementary schools. Except, of course, Rogers and Benford. It's only at one of those sites. So 13 sites, and we'll be sending out information on the affordability of that. Of course, for those who make less than 225% of the poverty index, it's free. Otherwise, it's affordable with reduced prices. The maximum price for a year of four-year-old pre-K is $4,000. So very affordable. Students can use our transportation. So for your listeners out there, if you have someone who's going to be 4 years old by August 1st of 24, be looking for the information or call any of our elementary schools. They can get you information. And then, of course, if you're going to be 5 years old by August 1st of 24, you're eligible for kindergarten. And that enrollment starts as well. So we have a lot of enrollment activities starting. We'll be sending out information and brochures on preschool and kindergarten. And so this is always an exciting time because we're already talking about next year.
Absolutely. Well, you can't. Never ends. You don't. There's not time for any of that. And this is all made possible by the referendum that we signed up for back in November.
That's exactly right. Our expansion of early childhood education is fully funded by the referendum. Also, we'll be getting information out to families real soon about, we have no school supplies. Those are all paid for through the referendum and some other fee-based things. So I think our families will begin to see the savings that they're going to experience and the benefits for their families and their students because of the referendum that passed in 2023. So exciting times. And, we will be really rolling out universal expansive early childhood education in a way that is pretty well unseen here in Indiana. So we're definitely leading on that, and these are exciting times.
Anything we need to pay attention to at the state legislative level here early in the session, or is that something you and I can worry about next month?
It's a short session, so by the time we talk, it could be wrapping up. So lots of conversations about third grade retention and requiring that. We do have some concerns for that. We think it should be a family and school conversation and decision, not forced. That puts a lot of stress and pressure on third graders.
No so, kidding.
And retention has some negative social ramifications. So universal mandatory retention or near universal mandatory third grade retention is something we tried it in Indiana a couple decades ago, and it didn't work then. So I would inform people to just kind of keep a lookout for that. And some possible changes to referendum languages, which might not affect us in the near term, but we always be mindful of that because we benefit from referendum. We don't want changes that are going to negatively impact our friends and neighbors should they decide to have a referendum in the near future.
When are we going to decide that one size never fits all? It hasn't forever. It never will, but we just want to throw this blanket over everything and cover it up, and it'll, like David Copperfield, when he pulls the blanket off, poof, it's all gone. It doesn't work that way, does it? All right, feel better.
And I will. And
good,
just a reminder, we got President's Day coming up, and our schools are closed for that. You mentioned as a lead-in before I came on about the IHSA girls basketball sectional. We always want to wish the best to Bloomington North. They play Martinsville at 6 o'clock on January 30th, and then, of course, Bloomington South plays Center Grove, 7:30. Bloomington South definitely got a tough draw. I know Center Grove comes in strong, as does Mooresville. But it's always an exciting time of the year, and anything can happen. So we wish our North and South ladies basketball teams the best of luck in the tournament this year.
Got to do some hooping. Always right around the corner. That starts next week, believe it or not. Meeting tonight, what time?
6 o'clock at the Collab, and that's on Miller Drive.
Excellent. Good to hear from you. Happy New Year. And we'll get caught up in February after
wait.
The
Thanks,
Groundhog, man. Valentine, all that fun stuff going. President's Day, like you mentioned. Feel better, buddy. Thanks for playing hurt today. I appreciate it.
Hey, thanks, Mike.